Hello and welcome to Blogosphere Serious Influence, the podcast all about the business side of the influencer industry. I'm Alice Audley and I'm the founder of Blogosphere. We run events, an influencer network, a magazine, and now a podcast too, which I'll be presenting. If there are any questions about the influencer industry that you want answered, be sure to tweet us your suggestions. Our Twitter handle is @BlogosphereM. Today on Blogosphere Serious Influence, I'm joined by Gabriella Pulashaita, who is the Influencer Marketing Creative Strategy Lead at cybersecurity company Surfshark.
I'm Gabriella Pulashaita. I work at Surfshark and I'm Influencer Marketing Creative Strategy Lead for Latin America and Europe, the Middle East and Africa.
And what is your background? How have you ended up in this role?
It was quite a roller coaster, I would say. I graduated from ESM, University of Management and Economics. I studied business management and analytics, so I had really a lot of choices after these studies. And I was not quite sure what I want to do. So I tried a bit of everything. So I worked at as an HR. I worked as a project manager at the magazine. I worked with customers at Vinted, and then I'm really, really grateful for our CMO here at Surfshark because he literally convinced me that this is the role for me. And for the past 3 years, I'm working at Surfshark with influencer marketing.
And how has influencer marketing developed in those 3 years that you've been there? And what is your... sort of, you've talked about the territories that you're in charge of. So are you managing all of the agencies, the budgets, you know?
Yeah, so basically this is how we structure our influencer marketing at Surfshark. We work, we divide into regions, so it would be easier a bit. So I'm mainly working with Latin America and Europe and Africa a bit, but not that much, unfortunately. For now. But in Europe, I have a lot of agencies because countries are so different. We have a lot of cultural differences. So basically, Europe is like a lot of small countries. You can't really group them that well as you could, for example, in Latin America or Asia. So yeah, it's quite a lot of work.
And explaining to, say, I'm a creator, what is the Surfshark sort of proposition and why should I have Surfshark?
Why should you join our partners pool?
Yeah.
I believe at Surfshark we really value creativity of our partners, and this is the always have been our main offering because we really want to see the creative potential from our partners. We do have scripts, but they're not that strict as might be from other companies. So we have the main talking points and then we let them improvise. I think it really shows this when we have partners who create, you know, dedicated videos of how Surfshark should fire them just because there's no concept that we won't approve.
Yeah.
So we're really fun to work with, at least I think so. It would be interesting to ask some of my partners if that's really true. You know?
I mean, that's more working with you on the influencer marketing sort of perspective. But in general, you know, it's virtual private network, security, you know, what is it that Surfshark, you know, what's the sort of company ethos of what you're providing? What is that service?
Yeah, of course. So Surfshark is a ultimate digital security toolkit. So our main product is VPN, which is a virtual private network. We have a lot of other products that help to secure users' privacy online. So we have Surfshark Alert, Search, we have Antivirus. But the main tool, the main product is VPN. And VPN, to put it in simple words, allow you to change your online location and encrypt yours. So you're safer online and you browse more securely and private. It also allows to access more internet content and bypass restrictions such as government censorship in some countries. Mm. So VPN is really a useful tool for online safety.
And can it also, so there's the safety element, but
in terms of people tracking where you're going, you know, I think everybody's got a bit more savvy.
Concerned.
Yeah, concerned and, yeah. and savvy to the data that's being harvested on them. So that's something that Surfshark offers as well by using VPN.
Yes, definitely.
So you joined 3 years ago, the CMO convinced you, and you're very pleased that you're there. So all through the pandemic as well. When you came on, it was as head of, you know, working within influence marketing. Were you the first person at Surfshark to sort of take that baton and be in charge, or was it, did it predate your arrival?
I was the second person, but it was the very beginning of influencer marketing at Surfshark.
And so what was the first creator campaign that you worked on, and what have been your learnings on, you know, those early ones compared to what you do now?
Yeah, we're joking that we started our influencer campaign back in 2019 and it hasn't stopped yet because we're working on ongoing influencer marketing. So we try new verticals, we try new categories, we try new platforms, new countries, try to unlock as much as possible. So at the beginning, we were very young and it was really hard to convince creators to work with us because we were like new brand in the market. Right now, it's a lot easier because we're like one of the leading VPNs in the industry. So that changed a lot because at the beginning, when I joined Surfshark, it was really hard to convince people to trust you. You had to earn this trust and show them who we actually are, that we are great business, great people working behind this product, and that the product actually is amazing. Mm. So that was some of the most difficult parts when we started.
Were you, when you started, did you approach creators to work with them directly as the in the first instance, and then when was the decision to move and get an agency?
So we started approaching them directly. We still do. Some of our colleagues still approach creators directly, but now we have a mix. We work with agencies and we approach creators directly. We decided to give a try with the agency when we realized that we need to scale and we need to onboard more creators on our roster. Also, I mentioned the trust element, so that was also very important because agencies already have those contacts. They already worked with creators, so it was easier for them to convince them that we are a great product to work with. And also, we needed some local approach in some of the countries. This is a big struggle still because especially in Europe, a lot of creators want to receive emails in their own language and discuss everything in their own language. So for us, it's an agency does the perfect work in this sense.
Which country was the first influence marketing agency that you hired? And you've talked about how different the approaches are. Could you give some examples about what you find in different territories?
I think the first agency, I think it was in the UK.
Right, great.
Yeah. It's a bit different because each country, especially in Europe, is, you know, very, most of the time, really isolated. So you have to really know what agencies work there and what are the main ones that have been there for a while, has the biggest network in that country, who has most trust in their country. Yeah, and of course, with Europe, we have a lot more sophisticated approach from agency side in comparison with Latin America, for example. Mm. Like, also, I think in Europe, influencer marketing itself is a bit more common than in Latin America, for example.
More evolved,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
US first, and then the UK wasn't far behind. Mm. In terms definitely. Of working with different agencies across Europe then, have you found that the general budgets are different? You know, is it more expensive for influencer marketing in the UK than it is for, say, France?
France and UK is quite similar, I would say. If we talk about Balkans, for example, Balkan region, it's a lot cheaper than the UK. So the budgets also differ. What we do mostly, we try to look into each creator specifically. We rarely, almost never work on fixed budgets with agencies. We work case by case on each creator because we really want to have those ambassadors of ours. We are looking into a long-term approach as we do not work on a campaign basis. So we look on the fee side as well. We look into each creator, each region, and each category of their content as well, like differently.
Mm. So when you have your agency and then working with the creators, they are more as, it's not campaign by campaign, it's on an ambassador sort of sense. So how long does that ambassador, is that sort of a year-long ambassadorship? And what does that mean in terms of your relationship with the agency as well? Does that mean you're locked in for sort of a year, 2 years?
Yeah. So basically our approach, we are always looking for long-term influencer marketing agency, like a long-term partner as well. We run test campaigns with agencies, so just to check on their work ethics, on how transparent they are. Also, agencies differ from their approach. Some offer also creative side, others are just offering lists of creators. So it really depends. But what we try to do, we try to make sure that each agency that we work with understand what our goals, because we are really performance oriented and our influencer marketing is based on performance and results. So we set KPIs for agencies when we work with them long term. So our goal is to work with agency for as long as the relationship lasts. Yeah. And it's everything is fine. And for them to do the same with the creators. So if we find a creator that works really well with our brand, the performance is great, we want to lock that creator for, 3, 6, 12 months or even longer. And we have a lot of partners that we are partners with already 2 or going into 3 years working together. So it's really nice.
So am I right then, you have one predominant UK agency, but you'll still be trialing out other agencies to see how they work as well within the UK?
We try to have exclusive agencies. Yeah. So it's more of a country specific approach, or if the country is really big, like US, for example. So then we might have a couple of agencies working there. But we really value our relationship with agencies that we work with. And we also hope that we are going to be the only VPN client that they have. So it only makes sense if we have such a good relationship with the agency, then they can be exclusive in that region. Yeah.
Now, the reason that we sort of found each other, and found you and invited you on the podcast, was due to a LinkedIn post that was talking about the approaches that you get from agencies. And it was sort of a list of no-nos and red flags, not things not to do. Would you mind telling our listeners of both creators and influencer marketing marketers what was on that list?
So I pointed out some of the things that I noticed to be really annoying is when agency contacts, because right now we receive a lot of requests from various agencies all around the world. When the agency representatives don't really try to understand your business goals and just drops you an enormous list of influencers, they rarely, not all agencies, of course, I'm talking about the bad ones.
Yeah.
So they do not even check if you already worked with a creator or if your competitor is working with a creator. They just drop you a list and they expect that you're going to go through 200 pages of influencers and select the ones you want to work with. Also, some of them send media kits without the links where you can press and check the social media of the creator. Yeah, what else was on that list? I'm trying to.
I remember those being the key ones. But in terms of agencies and that you have worked with, and you want them to be exclusive, but what has been your sort of worst experience of a campaign that you have worked on with an agency, and what made that so bad? You've mentioned you're very performance driven. You know, yeah. Have you done any? But then you also mentioned that the key at the beginning was this trust. So have you done brand sentiment pieces, or is it everything just on conversions and tracking?
It's on conversions and tracking most of the time, but you get the brand sentiment and awareness together with it. But the main goal is always conversions. I'm trying to think of the campaign.
We can talk about your favorite one first, and then if you like. Do you have one that stands out, one piece of creative? I know you've done a lot of stuff with Tomska.
Yeah, definitely. I have my personal favorite. It's it has a huge sentiment for me because when I started working here, we haven't been present in Portugal, and I have a huge personal sympathy for that country. So I was convincing my team that we have to try Portugal and be great there, and we are right now.
Amazing.
So I reached out to one of the agencies there, and we are still working together, and they're coming to visit us in July together with our favorite creator. And this relationship that we build is truly awesome, because when we started working, that creator was not that big of a star in Portugal. It was a tech creator, had a couple of 100,000 followers, subscribers on YouTube, and now he's I believe one of the most famous creators in Portugal in tech category. And Surfshark been there by his side all the time. He even did the first PPC ad for us, so we were trying that out with him. And he's really a true ambassador of our brand. He loves Surfshark and mentions it everywhere. So that's definitely the favorite campaign. And now we have this exclusive agency in Portugal. They were talent network at first, yeah. But we had such a great relationship that we kind of shifted their strategic point and made them do outreach for us and manage Portugal entirely. So
amazing.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Do you work in some territories with multiple talent agencies, or do you tend to have just the one agency and then the umbrella?
We work with talent networks as well.
Yeah. And then you've mentioned that this creator was within the tech vertical. In terms of the creators that you're looking for and campaigns, I mean, yes, they're talking about software and things within their content, but Surfshark's really relevant to anybody using the internet. So
exactly.
Do you use other types of creator as well? And are there any in particular that you're looking to tap into, other communities?
To be honest, you already answered that question yourself. Since our customer is anyone who's using the internet, and our mission is to make sure that they secure their digital life, we work with a variety of creators. It's a travel category, it's a tech category, it's cartoons, it's movies, it's coffee, whatever yeah. you can think of. So yeah, any creator that has audience that really loves him can work with Surfshark.
Mm. And then in terms of the sort of return on investment, and you've looked at tracking, can we hear a bit more about what you kind of want to achieve when you're running campaigns? And then in addition to that, how does that vary from platform to platform? And what have you found creator platform-wise that converts the best, if you're looking at a YouTube or a TikTok?
So our main goal is ROI, of course. So we are looking into how much one user cost us to bring from each platform, each category. We always check conversion rate, click-through rate for each creators specifically, because all of them have their personal tracking links.
And what have you found works, do you think, best? Like, do TikTokers convert more than YouTubers, or do you do any blogs?
I'm a huge fan of YouTube myself, but I was one of the first here at Surfshark that convinced me to try Instagram as well. So far, we're doing all the platforms. So it's YouTube, Twitch, Instagram, podcasts. We piloted TikTok. Well, you can hear a dash of skepticism in my voice regarding TikTok. But YouTube works the best for us. And I believe it's because when you watch someone on YouTube, you really select that creator, you really like what they're doing, you really trust their opinions, and that's one of the main reasons why YouTube works so well. And on TikTok, on the other,
aren't you and really opting in? Yes, you do have a homepage, but it is mainly that you know who you're looking for, whereas TikTok's more serving things up. So yeah, there was a note of skepticism about your TikTok. Could you divulge a bit more? Why are you skeptical?
Yes, definitely. I love the platform itself. It's really engaging, and really content-wise, it's amazing. But in terms of influencer marketing, I sometimes think that we lose the part of the influencer itself, because TikTok is so concentrated on content, and content there is great, and content marketing there really works. We tried paid ads there on TikTok involving creators. But when you look from the influencer perspective, on other platforms, you get to know more the creator itself, not only their content. And on TikTok, it's more content focused. So maybe the person don't have that much of authority to recommend something and actually sell the product afterwards.
Yeah. In terms of your influencer marketing strategy moving forward, you have agencies that are coming up with some of the creative and pitching into you. Do you come up with campaigns that you want to do annually or quarterly? And what are the sort of lead times from, say, at Surfshark HQ, you have a campaign idea? How long does that normally take within the influencer marketing realm to then go live?
We have really flat organizational structure. So if you come up with an idea, you really have that room for testing. So you can come up with a campaign idea, maybe discuss it with your colleagues, maybe not.
Yeah.
If you don't think it's very important. If we have a campaign that includes some kind of changes in the deal, as we have like Black Friday campaign when we offer a better deal, even better deal than we usually do with our influencer marketing. Or right now, for example, we're going to have a June campaign, then we add on antivirus on top for free next to extra 3 months free of subscription. So these campaigns take a month of to test it out and see how it works, if it improves the results or not, and if we wanted to stick to that deal or we're gonna change it somehow.
That is the nice thing about influencer marketing, that it is so agile and things can move so quickly, so you don't need to be locked into something a year, because it does change. You know, the industry's sort of been around for 10 years, maybe 6 years, where you've got lots of influencer agencies, but you know, platforms are coming up, you've got to be able to move fast.
Exactly. What is also really nice that when you have long-term partnerships with influencers, it's not that difficult to implement any changes in their usual communication, because you really have that close bond with each of them, close bond with the agency, and they can also move really fast to adjust to the changes you want to make. So that's the win for a long-term relationship.
Absolutely. I was speaking to somebody for the podcast recently, and they used to work at L'Oreal, and they were one of the first companies in the UK to have what was called the Beauty Squad, but ambassadorships, which were sort of a year long, seven figures. But within that, it was just X amount of deliverables, but you could tap into them at any point. So if you did have your Black Friday launch and you needed a video, you knew that this creator that you could ask them, and that again speeds things up, and
exactly
is a real testament to the longer tail partnership, which I think we're seeing as well. So long-term partnerships, obviously something that you're working on, trialing out different platforms, being agile. Have you done any events as Surfshark events marketing with guaranteed influencer coverage? And is that something that you might look into as a brand sentiment plus guaranteed piece?
Yeah, this is really, really interesting field. And I'm not sure if that counts, but we recently sponsored Comic-Con here in Baltics. And we flew Tom Ska from the UK to be... like creator brought by Surfshark there. He did a panel at Comic-Con as well. So this was this like last weekend. So I'm not sure about the results and how it actually went overall. But at least from our perspective, it was great. It was really nice to meet the partner that you work for a long time, to meet them in person, not only over the email or over a call. To show them what is Surfshark culture. And I think that even, you know, strengthens the relationship between you and the influencer.
Yeah.
And yeah, we are going to definitely look more into this and create more opportunities for us to work on the events with influencers.
Because in that you get all of the earned media value and then plus the guarantee. So with that scenario with Comic-Con, invited over, participating in a panel, but were there deliverables, paid deliverables for a YouTube video in that as well, or was it more treated as sort of a press opportunity?
Yeah, this time it was like a press opportunity.
So it's just that next step, combining the two and then supercharging. You can see I probably have a bit of an agenda there, what with our events, but I'll send you some more information over about those.
Okay, definitely. Please do.
What trends are you seeing at the moment, and what are your predictions for the space in the next year or so?
Yeah, I think influencers are becoming a heart of media plans for most of the brands. So it involves, you know, TV campaigns, PPC ads, billboards, ambassadorship plans, maybe some, you know, products branded by influencer are created together with influencer. So influencers are becoming an essential part of marketing mix
from the beginning as well. So it's just part of the process, and that, yeah, from the start.
Yeah, exactly. And also what I'm really excited about, at least here at Surfshark, we also started collaborating with other marketing channels here at Surfshark and including influencers there.
So sort of putting a creator in a television ad, for instance.
Yeah, or PPC ad, or, you know, inviting into an event. That is actually our employer branding strategy, to be more present, to look more, attractive for future employees.
I think as well with... putting creators into formats and different verticals, that it's just a double whack. Because if you have, say, a creator who's then in a BBC ad, anyone that follows that creator, as soon as they see the ad, what do? They get their phone out and film the ad and put it back onto social.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It creates that excitement, you know, for your favorite creator to be this on TV. And a lot of people are supporting their favorite creators and really enjoy that they get the opportunity as well to participate in such campaigns with brands.
So the future of Surfshark is using creators in different mediums, and that's something that you're personally excited about. What are your other sort of goals at Surfshark? If, you know, is there a dream creator? You worked obviously with in Portugal. Is there something else that's on your personal agenda that you'd like to achieve? And what is it?
Actually, when I joined Surfshark, I definitely made the list of influencers that I really want to work with. A lot of those creators were on Instagram as well. And at that point, we were not doing Instagram that much. So right now, that list is almost crossed out. And I have a few more creators left out, but we're already in talk. So I'm really happy. And I have to make a new list, I guess, right now. So I'm really happy about that.
It seems like you really love your job.
I do. That's true. Yeah, I really do. I hope that we're going to push more on other platforms because I see a lot of potential in other platforms. Maybe we haven't found the right or the best way to work on Instagram or on podcasts or on TikTok as well. I'm actually really curious how this platform will transform influencer marketing as well and how this going to work. So I'm really also grateful for Surfshark that we have this opportunity to A/B test everything and you know, see what works and what really doesn't.
I think with podcast, it's actually quite similar, sort of the audio equivalent of YouTube, because people are searching out, and there's very, you know, it's a very different thing, someone watching something for 30 seconds than someone tuning in to listen to two people talk about a subject for 40 minutes. It's a different level of attention, isn't it?
I agree with you. The only thing what we struggle with podcasts is that most of the time, like those who listen have completely different behavior than those who watch YouTube, because most of the time people, when they listen to podcasts, they are either driving or at the gym or doing something else at home, for example. When you watch YouTube, not necessarily all the time, but most probably you are on your computer or on your phone watching the content.
Ready to click.
And then yeah, you are ready to click. And with podcasts, it's more on the long term, you know, bet that we get that brand awareness, we get that recognition, and then finally, someday, we convert into sale. Mm. But it's a bit more difficult to track. We, of course, use coupon codes, but, you know, some people then go to read some article or click on the paid ad, so that we create with the podcast definitely halo effect for all the other channels.
Yeah,
but it's not that easy to measure as it is with YouTube.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's one of the things that we've seen when we had a big partnership with TikTok actually in 2019. But you know, printing out onto vinyls around venues QR codes so that it could be scanned in addition, and then you know, materials that go around that. But yeah, that's a good point. So I suppose it's, again, different channels offering different sort of forms of like brand awareness and affiliation. And yeah, the halo effect and that trust piece. It's very interesting.
Definitely. With the QR codes, by the way, we're also right now testing out, because we noticed that a lot of channels, especially travel related, are watched on TV. Because people tend to turn YouTube on TV and watch it as a movie or something like that.
Well, the quality is so good now on so many of them. It is sort of like film, isn't it?
Exactly. So now we also piloting QR codes on those videos. And it really works really well.
Yeah. It's funny because QR codes have been around for a while. And I think I saw a tweet about it. It's like, they're never going to take off. But actually, if the pandemic did anything, it's like now we're all used to QR codes.
Exactly. We were also laughing together with my colleagues. We were like, come on, QRs are so last year, you know?
Yeah.
But actually, they work.
Yeah.
You've been listening to Blogosphere Serious Influence with me, Alice Audley. For more influencer industry updates, be sure to check out www.blogospheremagazine.com.